Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We're positively into Preakness week here. Got a lot of home baseball. Won a lot of baseball games. Not recently, but I'm sure that's about to change. Seattle Mariners coming to town this weekend. Luke has been monitoring all things Toronto Blue Jays, while I have been chasing the Northern Lights, as well as Ann and Nancy Wilson, who were spectacular at the CFG Bank Arena on Monday night. The Orioles, not so spectacular, but, you know, we talk about this extra inning thing, dude, and you get into this crapshoot, and you got to strike guys out. I don't know. I'm sure this is going to become a, you know, the inquisition on how do you like the extra inning rules at some point? Because when you win, it's like, yeah, we cheap one out. When you lose, you're like, what happened?
It's true, but at the same time, the home team should have the advantage in such a format. And the Orioles had three hits all night. So I don't want to hear about the extra inning format. They didn't hit the ball. Other than Adley Rutschman, he had a great night, two solo home runs. But when your only other hit is Ryan O'Hearn in the first inning, they squared up some balls. I mean, O'Hearn himself got robbed of a home run over the course of the game. But just not a whole lot going on against Jose Berríos, who has historically had a lot of success against them. You know, whether we're talking the last couple of years or going back to the end of the Adam Jones, Buck Showalter, Dan Duquette days. So, yeah, they have to hit the ball. It's the third time all year they've lost two in a row now. So I don't think that's anything to be overly concerned about, but you got to pick it up offensively. There's no question about that. And especially when you look at some of the guys that have cooled off in the case of someone like Colton Cowser or Cedric Mullins, who hasn't hit for all but about a nine-game stretch in April. So it can't be Gunnar Henderson every single night. It can't be Adley Rutschman hitting two home runs. You know, obviously, this lineup, top to bottom, has been very good overall. But, you know, here recently, offense has been a little quieter than normal. But their pitching has been so good overall. So they've continued to win. So we talk about it all the time. It's the ups and downs of 162. I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned about. But I said going into this Toronto series that this Blue Jays team has underperformed. I still think they're talented. I still think they're capable of being better than what they've been to this point in the year. And even Monday night, they're dealing with guys under the weather. I think even Berríos wasn't feeling great, didn't know if he was going to pitch on Monday night, but certainly pitched well. And we saw that they've got some talented arms in the back end of that bullpen as well. So, you know, it's a kind of game that there's not a whole lot to break down other than you've got to swing the bats. You've got to mount more than two runs and three hits of offense over 10 innings, or you're most likely going to be beat. So I think probably for me, the most interesting note of the night was probably Corbin Burns. He was pulled after 85 pitches and not an injury, no indication of an injury, anything like that. But Brandon Hyde and Burns himself confirmed he was kind of out of gas. I mean, it was a tight game. He hasn't been getting a lot of run support here of late. He at least got a couple runs on Monday night after getting nothing his last couple starts. But, you know, he acknowledged he had kind of emptied the tank and he would have liked to have gone deeper. I think the Orioles would have loved to have seen him go another inning, but he didn't. And even though Craig Kimbrell came in the seventh, it just, your chain's shorter then for the rest of the game, especially when you go in the extra inning. So, you know, not blaming Jacob Webb or anyone else. I mean, Cano gave up a solo homer. I get it. You know, but that's going to happen from time to time. Again, you give up three runs in 10 innings, that should be enough to win. But it wasn't on Monday night because they just didn't swing the bats.
Burns has had some tough luck, right? And especially with him being the one and their offense being so spectacular most nights. But they've had a couple of nights in the first month where like two, three, four hits. That's not alarming, but in a case study on a night by night basis, when they struggle with a pitcher and it feels like seventh, eighth inning, close game, even winning on Monday night, you feel like, yeah, somebody's going to hit a double. Somebody's going to hit a home run, as McDonald and Mike Bordick said, crooked numbers, you know, at some point it will happen. But on the nights when we sit here the morning after, say, they had three hits. How did that happen? There is a part where how did that happen? Because they are so good.
Yeah. And again, I mean, they've been one of the best offenses in the American League, right? All year. They've hit, you know, home runs. Look at them for as far as leading the way in runs scored. But, you know, of late, the runs have been a little tougher to come by overall. You know, I think the last week or two we've seen them cool off a little bit in that regard. So it's going to happen. It is strange with Burns though, because I think what they won, he didn't w get the decision in each of those starts, but he won. I think it was their first five games that he pitched, they won. And since then, they've now lost four straight games in which he pitched. So that's unusual, especially for an ace. And it's not as though he's pitched poorly. You know, has he been his most dominant self in these games in terms of big time strikeouts and all that? You know, maybe not, but he's still pitched well. But yeah, I mean, he exits after 85 pitches. You're leading 2-1 at that point in time. You're hoping it holds up. Another good inning for Kimbrel. That was good to see. But then Cano comes in and he didn't have it. So I mean, this is the nature of baseball. Not just for the Orioles in 2024, but any team. You know, we've talked about it that starters don't go as deep. This is why you need so many bullpen arms, because when you have a chain that goes three, sometimes four innings, sometimes longer than that, depending on the night, the odds of someone being off, you know, the odds of someone not firing on all cylinders is relatively high. So you better either score some runs in the late innings, which the Orioles are apt to do, Monday night notwithstanding. Or you need to have a lot of bullpen depth. So, you know, again, it's just one of those games, one of those nights, quite frankly, where they just didn't swing the bats and they went up against a good pitcher. So no shame in that. But now certainly the pressure's on to, if you want to win this series, you got to take these next two. And, you know, it is a case with Toronto where they've been struggling. You want to keep them struggling, right? You don't want to let another team in the AL East get off the mat. You know, even though they're trailing the Orioles and the Yankees by a good bit already, you know, a quarter of the way through the season, but you don't want to give the Blue Jays any hope. And even seeing some of the reporter coverage coming out of Toronto, I saw more than one reporter say how big of a win that was for the Blue Jays. And, you know, whether it is or not, we'll see. But it really does speak to how much they've been struggling and how much they felt they desperately needed to win that game on Monday night, even with some guys out of the lineup under the weather.
Thing happens quick, right? I mean, they're playing early afternoon Wednesday, so this thing's going to be over with before we blink. These little mini series, we don't see any of these teams as much as we used to. We're on to Seattle this week, and we'll be at Fadley's, by the way. I am not holding up my Pac-Man scratch-offs. I don't know where the heck they went in the middle of the night, but I have them, and I will have them on Friday, along with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. We'll be there from 2 until 5. It's Preakness week. There's just so much going on, like, in a general sense. The NFL schedule is happening on Wednesday night. We're going to be all over that. Obviously, the Ravens opening out in Kansas City, and Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, and do you have anything you want to say on that before I get back to baseball? I'll give you 2 seconds on that just because, like, it's there and we've tweeted about it. But I thought they would do that on Christmas night. But I tell you what, for the Ravens, you wake up, nobody's played. You're either 0-1 or 1-0. It feels like that there's a lot of extra juice on that game, and the Ravens are now involved in it.
I mean, there's always a lot of extra juice for that game. I mean, it's fun. It's going to be great to talk about. I mean, there's always more emphasis on the first game because whether we're talking mini camp, training camp, first preseason game, third preseason game, there's always that narrative of you're counting down to Kansas City now. Right. I mean, you're counting down going out to Arrowhead and playing in the opener. Last year, it was, oh, counting down to week one against Houston. So there's always that added emphasis for week one anyway. But I mean, it's an AFC title game rematch. I mean, it speaks for itself. I'm with you. I wasn't convinced that it's going to be the Christmas game because who knows what's going to happen with that in terms of is Netflix getting those games or not? I mean, there's been lots of smoke that's the indication. But I did think that they would at least save that game for later in the year, but it doesn't really matter. I roll my eyes at at this being a revenge game. It's not even close. We're at the point with the Ravens that all that matters is what's going to happen in January anyway. I mean, they have to get there, obviously, but in terms of legacy, in terms of exercising past
Yeah, they go
demons.
out and beat the Kansas City Chiefs 43-13 on opening night and, you know,
I mean, it's great in the
stumble on
moment.
January 21st in Buffalo. What difference does it make, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's great in the moment. Don't get me wrong. It's
Yeah.
great when you win in week one. You always want to win in week one, but It's not exacting revenge. It's not exercising demons. It's not getting back at them. It's
It's week one.
beating them in week one, right? I mean, they beat them in week two back in 2021, and people at that time hoped that it was a sea change, and it wasn't. So it's fine. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be great. I think the rest of the NFL is probably going to be really excited to see that rather than Kansas City hosting, I don't know, the Chargers, you know, and trying to hype up like Jim Harbaugh's return to the NFL in terms of, you know, which is fun, but I don't think that's moving the needle for most of the country, you know, unless you're a Michigan
Yeah, that
fan.
mean when you kick it off, you're trying to kick it off with a game everybody
Yeah.
wants to watch, not a game that everybody wants to see the champion play another team, right? Play the Cowboys or something like that, right?
Exactly. So I think from that standpoint, it's going to be fun. You know, I've heard some people say, well, it's better to get them early in the year. At the same time, Zach Orr, first test as defensive coordinator, going out on the road against Kansas City. That's a pretty big test for a rookie defensive coordinator. So you can spin it
I'm
however you
already
want.
asking how the offensive line's going to play that night because
Yeah.
that's the question we're going to have. Let's May. We're going to be hearing that one for 4 months.
Yeah, no question about it. And on the flip side, Kansas City, hey, Rashee Rice probably isn't going to be of it. He's probably going to be suspended at least for the beginning of the season. So they're not going to have him. And, you know, will Hollywood Brown be up to speed with Patrick Mahomes at that point? I mean, there's all those different questions early in the season, late in the
Hollywood
season.
Brown running around as a toy for Patrick Mahomes. This is his dream come true, right?
I suppose so. So, hey, it's a big year for him. He took the pillow contract, took the 1 year deal with them. So, I mean, this is going to be a big year for him. And, you know, definitely be interesting. And I mean, you're looking forward to it. Week one, it's exciting. First time the Ravens are in the kickoff game since 2013. We know how that went. We know all the circumstances behind that. So it's still fun, though. And certainly a big matchup in week one. I mean, talk about throwing, you know, being thrown right into the fire. Here we go. No time for a slow start unless you want to be 0-1.
All right, back to baseball just for a minute now. Roster moves. We spent a lot of time talking about Westberg's emergence. We spent a lot of time talking about where Mullins and Hayes are going to wind up in this crowded field of roster manipulation with Mike Elias before deals are made, and we're all in the agreement that they're going to get bullpen help. And that might be a Norby, it might be a Mayo, it might be a Stowers, it won't be Holiday, but they're going to be making moves. But this outfield situation and where they are, especially when nobody hit the ball on Monday night, right? So it's not just a one position thing, but how long's the rope on Mullins? How, you know, where's the rope for Hayes to come back? Where are the at bats for Kerstedt if they're never going to give him a glove and they really don't want to give him a glove?
Well, that's why you saw some shuffling on Monday afternoon. You know, Heston Kerstad goes back to Norfolk. Kyle Stowers returns to the majors for the first time in literally a calendar year. It was Mother's Day last year when he found out he was being sent down, and then, you know, had some injuries and some bad, some misfortune in terms of the rest of his year at Norfolk. But you know, they bring Stowers back. Kerstad goes down. I think Stowers gives you more athleticism in the outfield, more of an option defensively in the outfield. And he swung the bat. He's hit for power at Norfolk. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that through the lens of if you're looking for someone to be more of an option defensively in the outfield, not just be another bat in the lineup. I think Stowers is the better option right now. I still think Kerstad, in a big picture sense, assuming not a trade, and that's a big assumption right now, but I think Kerstad's long-term profile still fits much more as DH, maybe a first baseman, maybe a right fielder. But look at those positions right now. I mean, were you going to take O'Hearn out of the lineup? No. Were you going to take Mountcastle out of the lineup? No. Were you going to take Santander out of the lineup? Not consistently. So Kerstad, it played out exactly as I thought it might. So.
Well, this speaks to the opportunities for all of these guys because if
Sure.
Hayes had shown up, you talked to Hayes down in Sarasota, if he came up and he was hitting 320, we might not have heard of Couser. Like, so these guys, they get
Right.
Wally Pipped in this situation, and Stowers now, he's really popular with these guys, or he's one of them, right? And has waited a year. You know, sample size will be small, to your point. You know, he's not gonna be the star in this lineup, but taking advantage of opportunities so that you can be the guy in the trade to the Cubs or whatever, you know, so you can get to a place where there aren't three guys in the way blocking you.
Or it becomes that you're the guy that looks like you can be the fourth outfielder that's really productive in a part-time role, and you can pinch hit and be productive in that role. I mean, not everyone can do that. I know that sounds silly because you say, well, you're talking about being a bench player, but I mean, Terry Crowley's going into the Orioles Hall of Fame later this summer. He's a guy who could pinch hit, right? So
Dude, we
there
got
are
guys that run
certain.
4-2-40s that can't bunt. That they don't
Yeah,
even attempt
sure.
to bunt because they're 30 years old and they've just quit on bunting. So these things that can be learned, like playing better defense and things like that,
Yeah.
where you could skill yourself up a little bit, that's a difficulty for Kerstad at this point in his career, that he's been given that X mark of the bad glove guy.
Well, and I don't think it's so much that he's bad defensively, but that's not his biggest strength. And when you're talking about the role that they're looking, and we talked about this when we reconvened after the weekend series against Arizona. Mullins was benched for 2 games. Reset, bench, a couple days off to clear his head, however you want to characterize it. But I noted to you that in those 2 games, you had Heston Kerstad play left in one of them, and Ryan O'Hearn was playing left in the other. That's when you're talking left field at Camden Yards now. I'm not talking pre-big wall. Then it wasn't as big of a deal. But now you need someone that can play center field quality defense in left because you just have that much room to cover. So I think that's another reason why you see them swap Stowers for Kerstad. Also, Austin Hayes activated, Ryan McKenna designated for assignment. So, that defensively, that's not as drastic, but we know Hayes plays a good left field at Camden Yards. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what this looks like because I think you look at the circumstances. We talked about Hayes and his struggles early in the year. We talked about Cowser seizing that job, but let's also call a spade a spade. Cowser has cooled off pretty substantially here over the last few weeks. I'm not as concerned about him as I am Cedric Mullins right now, but he's cooled off. Mullins has struggled mightily. I mean, big time. I mean, we're talking sub 600 OPS at this point. That's not good, especially on the heels of him struggling with the bat the second half last year.
And not the
And
kind of contact that he was getting before, which,
right.
forget home runs and all that, but just hitting
Lots
the
of
ball hard.
pop-ups. Yeah, lots of pop-ups and lots of, he's flailing at times. The swing doesn't look like it has much conviction. I mean, he's not conveying confidence at the plate right now. So that doesn't mean I'm benching him indefinitely. But, and this goes back to the point that I made before the season started, I have at this point now five outfielders. You have your three veteran incumbents going into the year, Cowser and now Kyle Stowers. Use them, cycle these guys in a little bit. And I don't mean if someone gets hot and has three hits that they're benched the next night. I mean, give all these guys opportunities, see who gets going, and whoever gets going. Then they play. They play for the next few days and you kind of do things that way. Point is, you've got multiple guys that are capable of doing this. They're talented. In the case of someone like Stowers, hasn't had a ton of opportunity since being called up to the majors for the first time 2 years ago. Let's see what this looks like and see who emerges. And, I mean, the simple truth is, if you're Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins or Santander to a lesser extent, although Santander's he's produced for the most part. It hasn't been his best year, but he hasn't had these extreme struggles like Hayes and Mullins. But we're talking about guys that aren't under contract for much longer. I mean, contract year for Santander, Hayes and Mullins, contract year is next year. So you do have to weigh all the different factors. First of all, winning is paramount on any given night. Right. I mean, that's what you want. So you want guys that are going to produce and hit and do the job, but they also need to be thinking about it through a long-term lens in terms of wanting to find out about Colton Cowser, which they have, and certainly he's played at a high level and he's been a rookie of the year candidate so far. You want to find out about Kyle Stowers. Do I think he's going to be a starting outfielder for the Orioles? Probably not, but I'm also not going to dismiss that possibility. I'm not going to dismiss the fact that maybe he could be a really good number four outfielder for you, which is still an important job, and be an upgrade over what Ryan McKenna was the last couple of years. So you want to find out those things. So I want to see these guys play. I don't want to see Cedric Mullins just getting a guaranteed 0 for 4 name in the lineup, no questions asked, you know? And same for any of these guys, quite frankly. If you're not going to produce, let some of the other guys get some at-bats and see if they get going. So that's how we found out about Kowser early in the year, right? To your point, with Hayes when he got off to such a bad start. So, you know, I'm interested to see how it's going to play out. I don't think this, by no means do I think Kyle Stowers is going to play every night. He didn't play Monday night after getting called up, but I do want to see how this shakes out. And you know, especially Mullins right now looks bad. I mean, he's hitting 185. He's got a on base percentage under 250 at this point in time. I mean, you know, we're so far beyond the days of talking about him hitting leadoff. I mean, at this point, it's, does he deserve to be in the lineup every night? And his defense is still great. You know, I mean, so he still brings value in that regard, but boy, he's got to get going offensively. And like I said, I think back to the walk-off homer he had against the Twins in mid-April, and he was in the midst of a really good, you know, kind of 8-9 game stretch then. But other than that, he's done nothing offensively. You know, a couple home runs, but it's been very little and no consistency whatsoever with him. And recently, the at-bats, to me, guys will go through stretches. I mean, Kowser, as I said, is really – tailed off a little bit here the last couple weeks, but he still has some games where he's hitting the ball hard, and you'll see some, you know, some things that you still like overall, but hasn't been a whole lot to like about Cedric Mullins at the plate for several weeks now. And at this point, I think it's starting to become a concern, because I think it's reflecting in a lack of confidence that he's showing just watching him play right now.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there at Oriole Park at Camden Yards for the conclusion of the series on Wednesday afternoon, as well as Seattle Mariners this weekend. We're going to be down at Fadley's with Maryland Lottery Scratch-Offs and Pac-Man. Got Preakness this weekend. I'm going to be out at the racetrack on Thursday morning for the Alibi Breakfast. I was at the post-position draw on Monday night because I'm still a media member. And by the way, David Joseph, I want to apologize to David Joseph from the Maryland Jockey Club and from the Magma people who greeted me at the door and let me know that he does indeed consider me a media member. And he heard me say on the air that I wasn't, and he was happy to give me a press pass. So thank you, David Joseph. So I will call off the dogs on all of the, but I did get thrown out of the Preakness press box 2 years ago, even though he Pontius piloted that and said, you know, wasn't him, but it wasn't him. But like, I'm good with the Preakness people. I guess that's my point, at least for this week, till it changes again. So, but it is a busy week around here. Mullins and Hayes and their struggles, and the foundational part of them being on the bus before it was good. They get more leeway. You said how long? I don't know. Hayes, sort of the comeback for him, sort of probably last hurrah, right? Given how many of these outfielders are in line, that when you are given your opportunity, it's about production now. Nobody's going to have any feelings. Fans do. Fans don't want Trey Mancini back. But, you know, we're at the point here, these younger guys getting at-bats, and even Stowers getting another opportunity, which I don't think he knew if he was going to get another opportunity. You and I certainly haven't said his name a whole lot. I called him Stoughton 3 months ago. That's how far gone he was, and I forgot his name. I confused him with a bad 70s actor. The veteran guys and this sort of opportunity to where is the line with Mullins, and where will the line be with Hayes, I guess, and even Santander to some degree. And he's been the more productive of all of them, but it feels for me out here that if I were talking to these guys in the clubhouse and hearing what they're really thinking, it's as crowded a thing as I've seen. I don't know that I've seen the organization ever have this sort of pressure upon at bats, because, and why pressure? They're first place. They haven't played a whole lot of games in first place in my adulthood. They have not been expected to win a whole lot in my adulthood. And certainly we expect them to win. We do. We expect them to win 100 games now, right? But who's going to be in the lineup when they do it? Because, like, to our point, we go to spring training thinking, well, you know, Hayes, Mullins, Santander, if they're doing what they've done in past years, that would be really good for winning. It was all along. But we didn't consider what if they don't, and where these young guys are coming along, because this has been a pretty choppy effort amongst the veteran guys, to your point. The incumbent guys, and we are on election day today. I forgot about that. Oh, we're only electing a mayor today. The incumbent usually has a a better seat than Brandon Scott had probably has today as well. But the incumbents are expected to perform. We talk about it all off season, and then it's May, and all of the younger guys were already saying, well, what are we projecting the game one lineup in October? Who's going to be in that lineup? Dude, you talk about betting on sports. Well, I don't. If you and I had to put that in a hat right now and say who are the outfielders for the playoff version of this team, I don't know, because nobody sort of grabbed the ring. Couser enough to show that he belongs, but the rest of these guys feel not only disposable but forgettable if somebody else were to come in and start Wally Pippen, you know?
Well, I think so. I'm not that down on Santander. And I realize he hasn't had a phenomenal season by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he's hitting 212 right now. But, and I'm going to use some more traditional stats, and I'm not the guy that dwells on these stats, but he's also on pace for 28 home runs and 100 RBIs right now. So it's not as though Santander has struggled to the degree that Mullins or Hayes has. So I'm still confident he's going to be there unless they pull
But you
off
don't want
something.
Mark Reynolds' productivity out of that position, right? I mean,
Oh,
yes, you're
but
not
who else is
looking for
giving
that.
but who else is giving you that? I mean, I to assume Kyle Stowers or Heston Kjerstad are going to do that is essentially, I know Stowers technically isn't a rookie, but that's a big assumption. Santander is going to be in the lineup. And at this point, I think Colton Cowser is going to be in the lineup. As I said, he's cooled off. There's no doubt about that. And he was always going to. You're not going to hit at the pace that he hit for those 2 weeks in April without cooling off at some point in time. And like I said, I know he had some not so great at bats on Monday night and even over the weekend, but he's also had at bats where he's hit the ball hard and done good things as well. So, but yeah, with Mullins and Hayes at this point, what are you getting? I think in the case of Hayes, I'm still willing to give the benefit of the doubt from the standpoint of I was even down in Sarasota. We were down in Sarasota when he was getting over a stomach bug that cost him about a week to 10 days of spring training at bats. And, then you carry that over to the regular season and you get off to a slow start and then you hurt your calf and you're on the IL and then you go to a rehab stint at Bowie and, hit a couple home runs. So
You're
I'm
talking
willing
about
to.
him, and I'm talking about the other side of the position was filled with a guy who was hitting 400 for a month, right? So,
Oh,
like,
sure. But that.
that's the part that you don't necessarily expect when these guys aren't doing well, but they're so crowded. They have so much
Oh,
talent.
sure. Well, but we also know things can change. And he's not an outfielder, but look at Jorge Mateo. Look at how we were talking about him last July, August, and September. I said it on many occasions. I didn't know why he was still on the roster, quite frankly. You're really going to carry this guy just to have a pinch runner on your roster come the postseason. And he's turned himself around to the point where I'm not saying he's a starter long term by any stretch of the imagination, but he's played a good second base. I mean, that was a great double play he started on Monday night, and we've seen him look more comfortable there. The offense has been good enough for what he is, which is really an extra infielder. A guy can play second and short. Can play outfield if you have a couple of guys go down and it's the extra, extra innings game, whatever it is. But the speed and his offense has been not great, but it's been okay. That's the profile of a valuable utility player for you. So we've seen Mateo bounce back. All these guys are capable of bouncing back. I'm not ready to bury Cedric Mullins. I'm not ready to bury Austin Hayes. Those guys are going to continue to be on the roster, but they do need to produce. There's no guarantee that you pencil their name in the lineup every night. We've seen that already with Hayes, and I think we're about to start seeing it with Mullins. I think based off what we saw over the weekend and the fact that he was 0 for 4 with two strikeouts on Monday night. So, give these younger guys some opportunities. That said, we also know that these young guys getting opportunities does not guarantee that they're going to produce right away. We've seen that with Stowers, although he's never been a guy that's gotten everyday playing time at the major league level. It's always been like, he's starting every other game or making two starts in 5 days or something like that. So, does he get more of an opportunity this time? We'll see. And in the case of Kowser, we saw it last year. Everyone thought he was ready. He wasn't. He's looked way better this year, but now it's a time for him to make another adjustment because he has, cooled off pretty considerably here over the last few weeks. So that's, look, that's going to happen. Not everyone's going to hit 300 and be Mr. Consistent and look like Gunnar Henderson all year. And, you know, even Gunnar Henderson, hey, he was 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts on Monday night. It happens to even the best players in baseball. So you're going to have some of that, but there is certainly pressure, whether you're talking about the veterans or these young guys, when they do get the call to come to Baltimore and their name is written in the lineup to produce. I mean, you have 5 outfielders right now who have either been an all-star at the major league level, in the case of Hazer Mullins, someone who's been a 30 home run guy like Anthony Santander, who is in a contract year now. So there's a different layer of pressure for him. And in the case of Colton Cowser and Kyle Stowers, 2 guys who have been, you know, heralded prospects, more so Cowser. You know, Stowers not as much love nationally from in a prospect way, but has still been highly thought of at different times. So you have 5 guys who all have designs of being starting caliber players, whether it continues to be in Baltimore or whether it's somewhere else eventually. So they've got to produce, and they're all at different points in their career. There's no doubt about that. But in the meantime, yeah, the Orioles, for as much as the lineup has produced overall and the run profile and the home run profile and all that, there's no reason to be concerned, you know, when you look at them statistically compared to other teams. But yeah, they need to get a little more consistent production out of their outfield. There's no doubt about that. And we're going to see how it unfolds. And to answer your big picture question that you posed, what is the outfield going to look like come September and October? I think to be determined, right? I mean, it's certainly to be determined. I think we have a pretty good idea, but at the same time, you know, Cedric Mullins got to go out and, you know, hit more like he did in 2021, not look like what he looks right now, which is the guy in 2019 who got sent to the minors. So, you know, he's really struggling. He's got to get going. So the veteran guys, to your point, Brendan Hyde will have more patience for. They're not going to release these guys or anything crazy like that. But, you know, we've seen it with Austin Hayes already. If you're not going to produce and someone else comes in and takes your job, then so be it. You become the 4th outfielder. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I do think we'll see Hayes and Stowers here over these next few days. And, you know, we'll see what they can do with the bats, see if they can get going.
Yeah, we go from, you know, it's whack-a-mole, dude. You know, last week it's pitching and it's Craig Kimbrell, and now he's a 7th inning guy. Orioles and the Blue Jays get it going through Wednesday afternoon. We'll be at Fadley's on Friday. The Alibi Breakfast is Thursday. The Preakness is Saturday. Election is today. Get out, vote. Please do that. We got a big week. A lot. Bob Baffert's coming on this week. Donna Brothers will be here this week. Lots of racing, just because I'm sticking that in. We also had the PGA Championship. I had Richard Sheppard on from Classic 5 over at Forest Park as well. So just a big, big spring week. Hang in there with the birds. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.